Hello and welcome to the British Equestrian Podcast. We are back for a new series of episodes linked to our Female Health February campaign, which will lift the lid on some of the important female health topics that can affect equestrians, both on the yard and in their daily lives. Equestrian sport is widely known and appreciated for offering male and female athletes an equal playing field on which to compete. However, being a female equestrian does come with some unique challenges, regardless of the level you participate in. Whether that's planning your riding around your periods, finding the right sports bra to make sitting trot just that little bit more bearable, or the impact of pregnancy on your time in the saddle. To get a better understanding of this and launch us into this campaign, I'm joined by three highly experienced practitioners from our National Lottery funded World Class programme. First up is Ash Wallace, who is the programme's Athlete Health Lead and Lead Human Physio. Based at the UK Sports Institute at Bisham Abbey, Ash works with athletes from across the programme, using experience drawn from working with a wide range of sports, including hockey, rowing, bobsleigh and Formula One. Welcome, Ash.
Thanks very much, Rachel. It's great to be here today.
And joining us is Ros Cook, a senior multi-sport physiotherapist for the UK Sports Institute. Previously, she's worked with the Lionesses and the England netball teams, amongst an array of other top-level sports. Welcome, Ros.
Thanks, Rachel. Great to be here as well.
And last but not least is Dr. Anna Louise McKinnon, who is Chief Medical Officer for the World Class Programme and Clinical Director for the Injured Jockeys Fund. She does all of this alongside working for the NHS and has previously supported other sports through her links UKSI.
Hey, nice to be here. Thank you.
So I think, first of all, let's kick off. What do we actually mean when we're talking about female health? What kind of topics does this cover?
I think the most important thing is we need to understand that it involves considerations related to physical and mental health or mental well-being. But the unique aspects to female athletes is really important to understand. And you've touched on some of those already, but the obvious one is the menstrual cycle and menstrual health, impact on training, on reproductive and the musculoskeletal systems, which is obviously different to men, hormonal fluctuations to understand, bone health, how do the nutritional needs of women vary compared to men? And then, again, breast health, hugely important and I think widely misunderstood. And finally, as you have mentioned, but I think we definitely want to delve deeper, is into those training regimes post-pregnancy and obviously what to do during pregnancy, which is absolutely relevant to equestrian sport.
I think the other unique thing and wonderful thing about equestrian and equestrians is that it's a sport that you engage in throughout your life, and therefore we have girls and young women and older women at all stages of their life riding, and their hormonal profiles throughout that whole life cycle will change. And the impact of those hormones is really different across a variety of systems, as Ash has mentioned, be that our musculoskeletal system, our digestive system, our health and well-being from a mental health perspective. So what we're talking about isn't a one-size-fits-all answer for everyone, but having an appreciation of how our hormones change throughout our life and how this might impact on our engagement and enjoyment and performance when we're riding.
And I think just one thing that I would add is also within equestrian sport, there's a lot of women participating in this sport, which can be different from certain other sports, which competing on a level playing field, again, very different from most other sports. Mm-hmm. And just how that can be a challenge to women. Also, it can be an advantage for women.
Absolutely. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely right, Annalise.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's a very key point there that you picked up on, Ros, the fact that we are this sport that you can start when you're sort of, you know, I mean, some of our athletes were put on a saddle pretty much before they could walk.
Exactly.
And you can keep going to a pretty decent level until you're well into, I mean, again, we've got athletes, you know, heading into in their sort of 60s and things,
yeah,
doing really well and going on, you know, and many leisure riders will keep going past that. And yeah, that offers a huge array of, yeah, considerations, you know, that we can continue to enjoy the sport and, as you say, adapt to these different stages as they come along. It's not a one size fits all approach, both as a person and as a population.
Yeah, 100%.
And the thing is, you know, obviously we're starting a dialogue here, we're talking about this, and it's very important to do that. But it is, you know, female health is becoming a far more widely talked about topic, not just in equestrian, just across the sporting landscape. More and more conversations are happening about this, but there is still this sort of inbuilt taboo, I guess, about talking about periods and breasts and things like that. Why is it important that we're starting to have more of these conversations?
I mean, I think the obvious answer is it's around education and awareness. And interestingly, I was reading in 2019, there was a report of the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists that they did a huge survey across women. And something like 25% of women only had some good insight into their bodies. And this is across the ages. We also did a similar survey in elite sport a couple of years ago. Same thing. I think it was something as small as that, a tiny percentage of women that have got insight into their own bodies. And I think that to quote the report from the Royal College was that it concluded that women are woefully uneducated about their bodies at every life stage, which is damning, really, of women. And this was a report done in 2019. So I think there's this is part of that, a massive opportunity to raise that awareness and also that understanding, and in that way to break down those taboos, to break down those myths. And we've already started doing that, as you know, through the pathway in really targeting coaches, in that we have to. And it's not, I think also, if I think back to, so when I was playing, it was seen, we always think it as a weakness. If we're talking about a period, it's a weakness, and it doesn't have to be. It can be absolutely be a performance impactor for the good. And for whatever reason, but you, and again, we're looking in our world, if you look at research that's been done, most of the research in our world is based on men. Mm-hmm. And there's some really good books that have written the same thing, a load of, you know, seat belts that are designed just on the male body, not the female. So it's across across the piece, not just in sport, that we need to be looking at female health. And I think we as women need to really stand up and also take responsibility and with that really drive and get rid of these taboos.
I would totally agree with that. I think one of the I think as a group of women, we're very good, and I think I see this a lot in our riders that we work with, very good at adapting and overcoming any challenges that are put in front of them. And the sometimes a negative impact of that is not recognizing when something that's part of being female, such as your menstrual cycle, is maybe actually those really horrible symptoms you have day one, two of your period that really limit your ability to ride. Well, actually, we can do something about them. You don't just have to put up with these things. I think there is traditionally we've seen, you know, issues such as postpartum issues, such related to things like incontinence or prolapse. We sort of, you know, well, that's just part of being a female, or that's part of having a baby. And actually, we're starting to see a different narrative in the space, because women are becoming more aware that actually they don't have to put up with symptoms. There are things that we can do to help support and improve their quality of life. And again, that has such a big benefit, not just from our world in terms of elite performance, but also in people's day-to-day lives. You know, the impact of having issues in related to menopause or prolapse or pelvic health, or, you know, your menstrual cycle, that has quite a big significant impact on your health and well-being. So again, it's really important that we can raise awareness around what these issues are. There are options to help and support people. And I think social media has probably gone a long way in helping to open some of these conversations.
Yeah.
And for people not to sort of suffer in silence with these issues. So this, I think that's what I'm really excited about with this campaign, is again, sort of raising that profile around these issues and how we can open those conversations for our female riders at whatever level they perform at.
As you mentioned earlier, the fact that research is often in the male population, so there's a lot more evidence for male athletes in whichever sport you look at, and very little in female. So I think promoting more interest in research in that area, and also more innovation in that area as well. Most of us within who work and live within this sort of equestrian environment are used to using wheelbarrows and buckets and spades, and massive wheelbarrows and ever bigger buckets. and you know, half our work is actually that rather than riding the horse. And actually that's all been made probably with the male in mind. And, you know, that's what we're doing every day. Mm. So for a huge proportion of our participants, you know, they're spending quite a number of hours just lugging stuff around. So the musculoskeletal impact of that on their bodies is huge. And yes. If we can continue to keep them active throughout their lives, the benefits of keeping them fit and active are enormous. And wouldn't that be great if just raising the awareness in that area led to more innovation?
Yeah.
It's just a common thing. I mean, we find it across the equation too. We're all so focused on our horses and making sure our horses are at their best and able to perform at their best and do things to the best of their ability, that we often just kind of forget about ourselves. And like, this all kind of ties into this. It's, you know, we just get on with it. We just get on with it and do whatever and power through. And as you say, if we take a minute maybe to think about some of these issues, some of the, you know, the environment around us, what's going on with our own bodies, actually the performance impacts, regardless of what level you're riding at, can be amazing.
Yeah. I mean, you're absolutely spot on, Rachel. An example that always sort of springs to mind is when we, you know, riders who have mares and they know exactly around contraception, what they're doing with the mare and how they're managing, what impact it has and where the mare is in her cycle and what that and how that relates to what they're trying to do. But if you start talking to them about theirs, it's no idea. So it's absolutely fascinating. And you're right, it is all about equine first and the knowledge of periodization with their horses is amazing as opposed to their own.
Yeah, we're a strange breed, horse people.
But... I'm not saying anything.
But we all have, we've all got the best for our horses at heart. So we just need to, as I say, focus on ourselves a little bit. And hopefully that's what this campaign can do, is just make everyone sit up and go, actually, yeah, no, hang on. There are things going on with my body that I need to pay attention to, that I was going to say is going to make the time in the saddle, on the yard, whatever, far more enjoyable. You know, as I say, even if that's just down to finding the right sports bra for the job, because, you know, that can get quite uncomfortable. We all know that.
but also, I mean, the way to also look at it and something is also, particularly if you're talking about pelvic issues and asymmetries to the pelvis, and indeed, you know, larger breasted women and what that does to balance. And we know what horses like. We know their heart, you know, the harmonious and the synchronicity and so on. And those may well be impacted on your horse as well. So I think that's also important to always remember is what impact are you having on your horse as well by perhaps not focusing on some of these areas.
Definitely, that's a really good point. So then let's have a look. What are maybe some of the topics that we are going to look at over the coming weeks?
I think it's quite a challenge to do. Obviously, we want to do justice to all of our topics. But, you know, as we said, female athlete health is such a broad church of of different things. And I think as we were saying, and as you know, there is a lack of research in this area, so we're just starting to understand the landscape of this space. But I think we've got some really great topics that are going to be really meaningful and helpful. So we're going to kick off with looking at the life cycle. So like we said, in our sport, we're so lucky that we have participants throughout their life cycle. Like you said, as soon as some people, as soon as they've popped out, they are down the yard or on a horse and then onward into their riding and equestrian journey. So what we wanted to look at is across the life cycle, what the impact of our hormones are and what that might be at those different stages and how that might impact on our riding. So we wanted to start with sort of, again, making everyone aware of like what do your hormones do and where are they and what happens to them across those transitions in your life cycle, be that pre-puberty, puberty, you know, pregnant, go into that area and then into perimenopause and menopause. And we know that perimenopause and menopause is an area that's rapidly growing in terms of knowledge and women sharing their experiences and options to help them as well. So we thought it was really important to start with understanding what's going on with our bodies at different stages as our first stop on this journey.
Number one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I think second week, we're going to be looking at the breast health side of things, because again, I think generally across the population of women, I think some education there, a lot of that led by Anne Louise around breast health, how to check your breasts, and then We'll be sharing some of our insights around bra fit, good bras, what are you looking at? We're doing some project work within BEF around really trying to understand bespoke for equestrian sport. So we'll share some of those insights and hopefully really useful information for the public.
So week three is pelvic health. And we'll be discussing some of the changes while people are pregnant and following pregnancy, and also the recurrence of pelvic health issues around menopause as well. So things like incontinence later on in life. So that will all be covered in week three.
And I think we're also going to maybe throw in a little bit of mental health in there as well, aren't we, around like pregnancy, and obviously that can be quite an emotional time for people, and you know, some mental barriers about maybe getting back on once you've had your baby.
I think I think it's definitely that it's a big life transition, isn't it? It's suddenly, you know, it's one of those big life transitions that people go through, and there's a physical and a mental impact of that, and how you organized your life and your riding before suddenly, you know, that might be changed quite dramatically by the arrival of your small person, and how do you maintain your identity as a rider and as a mum and as a parent, and all of those challenges that, you know, women encounter during that life transition. And I think, you know, we're talking about pelvic health, hopefully, you know, it's getting across to people that you don't just have to be pregnant or menopausal to have pelvic health issues, and you don't also actually only have to be female, but it does for this week we're obviously prioritizing the women, because we've been under prioritized for a long time. But yeah, it's something we you might have guessed I'm quite passionate about, and how it and how it links with everything. So I think that will be a great week as well. And then week four, we're going into
week four. Really mentioned about mental health, Rachel, but we I think one of the big areas of concern, I think, for all of us on this call is around body image. And certainly the impact of social media and so many of our young riders having pressure, you know, so we very seldom hear about all that male rider or that rugby player looks a little bit overweight, but we've certainly heard that about female riders, and what impact does that have? So our last week, we also want to talk about energy availability. And I think across the board, we are concerned around female riders getting enough fuel on board and understanding what that means. There's something called REDS, which is relative energy deficiency, which we will talk a little bit about. What does that actually mean? What is the impact on your body around bone health, around psychological health, around immunity? So there's quite a big piece that we want to cover that I think we all absolutely see the real importance of looking at this, and then obviously with some nutritional tips as well, because there's some key areas of nutrition, particularly as you go into menopause, that differs. But we really want to finish off the month with delving into this area.
I was going to say, I think with REDS, it's an area that sometimes people think that the athletes or active people make deliberate choices to cut their energy intake. And actually, I would say for quite a lot of our riders, they're really busy people.
Yeah.
They've got so much to do. So it's not always a conscious choice.
More often not really. Just that thing that happens, they don't realize how much exercise they're doing.
Yeah.
So really, awareness in that area will be really helpful, I think.
Yeah.
Well, it's something I find. You know, I will merrily go off to the yard and you're still there 4 hours later, and the last thing you ate was a cereal bar when you left the house.
Yeah.
It's something we're all guilty of doing. So yeah, it's great that we're gonna pay a bit of attention to that and you know, shine some light on maybe some healthier strategies around that sort of thing. Well, I have to say, guys, it's sounding like it's going to be a really, really exciting month. You're all clearly very passionate about what we're talking about, which helps. It's why I brought you into this. But the passion is shining through. And yeah, so I hope this has given everyone at home a bit of a taster of what's to come. We're going to be bringing in some other amazing experts, and Roz and Ash and Anna Louise are all going to be back as well to share their insights. Make sure that you are following along with the podcast. We'll also be putting loads of assets out on social media and on the website. There's absolutely no excuse for missing out on what's going on. And yeah, we hope to see you all soon.